नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपाकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज फॉर टुडेज मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास। वी आर डिस्कसिंग कंटिन्यूइंग अवर डिस्कशन फ्रॉम द फोर्थ कैंटो 29 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड टॉक्स बिटवीन नारदा एंड किंग प्राचीन भरी। सो वी विल टेक verses 71, 72 and 73. शुप्ति मूर्छोपतापेषु नियते अहम् इति ज्ञानम् मृत्यु प्रज्वारयोरपि। शुप्तिमूर्छोपतापेषु प्राणयान् विघता तथा नहते निहाते हम इति ज्ञानम् मृत्युर प्रज्वारयोरपि। शुप्ति मूर्छयोपतापेषु प्राणयान् विघातता निहाते हम इति ज्ञानम् मृत्यु प्रज्वारयोरपि। माताजी, वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। शुप्ति इन डीप स्लीप, मूर्छ फेंटिंग, उपतापेशु और इन ग्रेट शॉक, प्राण अयना ऑफ द मूवमेंट ऑफ द लाइफ एयर। जय श्री राधा वृंदावन भैरव श्री गौरंग महाप्रभु की जय। विघातत फ्रॉम प्रिवेंशन न नॉट इहते थिंग्स ऑफ अहम आई इति दस ज्ञानम नॉलेज मृत्यु वाइल डाइंग प्रज्वारयो हो और ड्यूरिंग हाई फीवर अपि ऑल्सो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Translation: When the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss, At the time of death or when the body temperature is very high, the movement of life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self. Purport. Foolish people deny the existence of soul, but it is a fact that when we sleep, we forget the identity of the material body. And when we awake, we forget the identity of the subtle body. In other words, while sleeping, we forget the activities of gross body. And when active in gross body, we forget the activities of sleeping. Actually, both states, sleeping and waking, are creations of illusory energy. The living entity actually has no connection with either the activities of sleep or the activities of the so-called vacant state. When a person is in deep sleep or when he has fainted, he forgets his gross body. Similarly, under chloroform or some other anesthetic, the living entity forgets his gross body and does not feel pain or pleasure during a surgical operation. Similarly, when a man is suddenly shocked by some great loss, he forgets his identification with the gross body. At the time of death, when the temperature of the body rises to 107 degrees, the living entity falls into a coma and is unable to identify his gross body. In such cases, the life air that moves within the body is choked up, and the living entity forgets his identification with the gross body. Because of our ignorance of spiritual body, of which we have no experience, we do not know of the activities of spiritual body. And in ignorance, we jump from one false platform to another. We act sometimes in relation to gross body and sometimes in relation to the subtle body. If by Krishna's grace we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both the gross and subtle bodies. In other words, we can gradually train ourselves to act in terms of the spiritual body. As stated in the Narada Pancharatra, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. Devotional service means engaging the spiritual body and spiritual senses in the service of the Lord. When we are engaged in such activities, the actions and reactions of the gross and subtle bodies cease. We'll offer prayers to the Guru Parampara. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamstra, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpataru Bhesha, Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha, Patitanam Pabne Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namunama, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So again, we welcome all the devotees for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So we are taking three verses. This is 71 to 73. So I'll just read the translation for the three verses again. The 71st verse mentions, when the living entity is in deep sleep, when he faints, when there is some great shock on account of severe loss, at the time of death or when the body temperature is very high, the movement of life air is arrested. At that time, the living entity loses knowledge of identifying the body with the self. 72nd verse says, when one is a youth, all the 10 senses and mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organs and the mind remain covered, just as full moon is covered by the darkness of the dark moon night. Next verse, 73rd. When the living entity dreams, the sense objects are not actually present. However, because one has associated with the sense objects, they become manifest. Similarly, the living entity with undeveloped senses does not cease to exist materially, even though he may not be exactly in contact with the sense objects. So, this particular chapter, as the title itself mentions, is talks between Narada and King Prachinibhari. So, this whole section of Srimad Bhagavatam is discussion between Narad Muni and a great king, King Prachinibhari. So, King Prachinibhari, he is very famous, or he is known for performing lot of karma kandya rituals, lot of sacrifices. So it's mentioned that in his country, kusha grass grows profusely, because wherever he is there, he is performing profuse Vedic sacrifices which require lot of kusha grass. So that is there. But Narad Muni comes and he sees his condition, and he tries to elevate his consciousness. So there's a whole series of discussion in previous chapters also. But in this particular chapter, after telling the allegory of Puranjana, where Srila Narad Muni's devotional preaching is at its height, or, you know, so Narad Muni, seeing the condition of a great king, Prachinibhari, where he cannot directly tell him, oh, you are such a big fool, he starts telling him a nice story to actually explain what he wants to explain. So he tells the whole story of Puranjana, which is actually his own story, but in an allegorical way. So in this chapter, after explaining after telling the whole story, he explains what the story is all about. And then Prachinibhari is getting some hint of what is going on. So Narad Muni also tells about how the jiva is wandering in this material world, and how he is bound in this material world because of his desires, which leads to he getting caught up in the three modes, sattva, raja and tama. So these are the ropes which are not visible, but they bind a living entity. So like we were discussing, in this world, everyone is bound. But some know it, some don't know it. So either you get bound by love for Krishna and move in tune with his desires, or one feels that I am independent, but he is being bound by the chains of the three modes, sattva, raja or tama, and they move him in certain direction. So nobody is independent. Everyone is actually bound, but we have to see whether we have to be bound by love or we have to be bound by the ropes of the three gunas. So that Narad Muni is explaining. And then Narad Muni tells that I'm just giving a brief synopsis of this chapter, how the description is flowing, and where, at what point we have reached in this discussion now in the 71st verse. So then Narad Muni tells that actually this predicament of the soul who is caught up in samsara, how he can get out of it. So he tells that the only remedy is to surrender to Krishna, to perform devotional service. So he's saying that what is the means by which one can surrender to Krishna, or how one can progress or start walking, is by shravanam, hearing. So in 38th verse, he says, so achirad eva raja rishe syad achyuta kathashraya. So one who takes shelter of Lord's Hari's katha, ashraya, he can actually shanvata shraddha dhanasya nityada syad adhiyata. And where is Krishna katha found? So he is explaining, it's found where the mahats, the devotees, are present. So they are constantly discussing about Krishna katha. Yatra bhagavata rajan sadhavo vishadashaya. So they are sadhava, they are bhagavatas. Bhagavad gunanu kathana shravana vyagra chetasa. So with vyagra chetasa, they are constantly discussing about Krishna katha. And when one hears Krishna katha in their association, what happens? Tasmin mahan mukharchita madhubicharitra piyusha shesha sarita parita shravanti taye pibanti avatrishro nipagada karnes tanna sprishanti ashana tridbhaya shoka moha. So here very beautifully saying, if one has gada karne means, if one is very eager and attentive to hear with, you know, the cupped ears. So one is so eager, attentive, drinking each drop of nectar of Krishna katha through the ears, what will happen? Tanas prashanti. One will not be touched by ashana, trid, bhaya, shoka, moha. That is by hunger, thirst, fear, lamentation, or illusion. So if one is actually has a guard karna, means the eager ears are very eager to hear Krishna katha, then the effect is the material nature, which through these agents of hunger, thirst, fear, illusion, lamentation, will not affect us. So then, after telling about bhakti, so Narad Muni now comes to the point that how Prachini Bhari, you are doing so many rituals, please end that, because they are entangling you. You may feel you are doing a lot of pious activity, but you will have to take birth and suffer for these activities, as you have been killing different animals in sacrifices, etc. And foolish people don't know this. So better engage in pleasing Lord Hari. So what is the result of worshipping the Lord, etc., he tells. So suddenly, Prachini Bharishad has understood what is his, what course of action he needs to take. But then he thinks his sons, the Prachetas, have gone for tapasya. So let them come back, and then I will hand over the kingdom to them. And then I will take up sannyas, or I will go and do bhakti in one-pointed fashion. So Narad Muni feels, no need to wait. You go now only. So he tells the allegory of a deer, that in this world, how we are caught up and death is awaiting, and at any moment death can come. So no need to wait. You go ahead. So but then Prachini Bhari is fully convinced, but he still has some doubt, which he asks in the last part of this chapter, which is the section we are in, which is being answered, the question which Prachini Bhari asked. So he is asking that a living entity did something in his previous life. He enjoyed something, he did some actions. So how come he is suffering in this life? Because the body which did the act in previous lives is lost. So with the loss of body, The loss of result should also have happened. But why one has to suffer or enjoy in this body? So that is his question. So to answer that question, Narad Muni explains how the living entity is transmigration and what is the role of the mind. So the connecting link, what is the connecting link from one body to another is the mind or the subtle body. So the mind is consistent. It's continuing on. Even though the body grossly has completely deteriorated or is finished, but the mind is continuing on as the subtle body. So then Narad Muni is giving the example of dream, how in dream also one gives up the association with the gross body. But the mind is active and therefore he is continuing. So that kind of analogies he is giving. So of dreams, of the mind, how mind is storehouse, and how a devotee can avoid transmigration. So now, in the previous verses till verse 70, so he has given a distinction between what is a gross body and what is subtle body. So then Narad Muni, Prachin Bharishat is thinking, our gross bodies are destroyed thousands of times while the subtle body remains. So why can't, when the gross body remains, there's a destruction of subtle body during sleep, deep sleep. Why can't we say like this? We say that gross body is destroyed and subtle body remains. So why can't we say the other way around? That the subtle body is destroyed, but the gross body remains like in deep sleep. So why can't we say like this? So to answer that, in this section, Narad Muni is explaining, no, the subtle body is not destroyed. It may be in a dormant state. So in these three verses, if you see, that aspect is being highlighted. So we'll see that just to bring to where the discussion is. So actually the purport, when we read, there's so much about chloroform, coma. I was thinking maybe Sridhar Nimai Prabhu can explain more details how the living entity or the body is separated from its gross consciousness in coma, in when chloroform or when high fever of 107 degrees, etc. Or anesthesia is given so that during operation, the body doesn't feel any pain. So all that aspect Prabhupada is mentioning. So first thing Narad Muni says in text number 71 is that he is telling about these different states. What is that? Shupti, deep sleep. Murcha, fainting. Upatapeshu, grief. Mrityu, death. Prajvarayoho, high temperature or fever. So in these states, when one is in deep sleep, when one is fainted, when one is in grief, deep grief, when one has died, mrityu, or when there is very high temperature, so one loses self-awareness. One loses self-awareness. He becomes like disconnected with the body because of either deep pain, steep pain, or because of that he has like fainted, he has lost connection with his body. So that point he is saying. So to explain that, then Prabhupada is explaining all these aspects. But of what this is murcha, when high fever happens, then one person goes in coma, or sometimes when operation has to be done, then anesthesia is given and the person becomes like the consciousness of which is connected with the body is relieved and one does not feel any pain, etc. So Prabhupada, the whole conclusion very nicely Prabhupada in the purport is making is, in such cases, the life air that moves within the body is choked up and the living entity forgets his identification with the gross body. So the life air, which is an aspect of the subtle body, in this body we are situated, gets choked up. And therefore, its identification with gross body is forgotten for the time being. So, because of our ignorance, so then Prabhupada takes it to the higher level. that why this is happening, why sometimes we are in a, so Prabhupada is saying these two, both of them, states of wakefulness and sleep are tottering states. They are not our real existence. So Prabhupada says, because of our ignorance of spiritual body, of which we have no experience, we do not know the activities of spiritual body, and in ignorance we jump from one false platform to another false platform. So unless one realizes his spiritual identity, he is not stable. So unless there is a proper foundation, so stability cannot be achieved, because person is moving continuously. Oh, this is my duty, that is my duty, etc., etc. So, like in first canto also, this verse comes, etadhyatur chittanam matra sparsha ichchaya muhu bhava sindhu plavo drishto haricharyanu varnanam. So, etadhyatur chittanam matra sparsha ichchaya muhu. Those whose chitta is very atur, for what? Matra sparsha ichchaya muhu. For sense enjoyment, matra sparsha. Matra sparsha means sense objects one wants to enjoy or one wants to get touched with. Ichchaya, that is very prominent. So, they live in this world, they are in a tottering platform. Because continuously they are thinking, I will do this, I'll get enjoyment. I will enjoy this sense object, I'll get enjoyment. So, continuously moving from one platform to another platform. But the happiness is never gained, as Prabhupada is saying, because the spiritual identity, the spiritual foundation is never understood, is never realized. So then the next two lines says, bhava sindhu plavo drishto. This world is like bhava. It's like a bhava sindhu. Bhava sindhu means ocean. Sindhu is an ocean. So this ocean, material ocean, plava, the boat. What is the boat to cross over this? Hari charyanu varnanam. The topics of Lord Hari. Hari charya anu varnanam. So if one takes shelter of the boat of Krishna Katha, then only he can actually bhava sindhu. He can cross over the ocean of material existence. Otherwise, etadhi atur chittanam. The chitta is very atur. For what? Matra sparsha. For get in touch with sense objects. Oh, I will get in touch with this sense object, I will enjoy, but satisfaction, enjoyment doesn't come. So goes from one platform to another platform, either grossly or subtly. So here, this section is talking about enjoyment at the gross platform through this body, or through the subtle platform, through various desires, through various inclinations which are there in our subconscious mind, which we keep on increasing through the inputs we receive, through our gross body, through our knowledge acquiring senses, etc. So that needs to be taken care, and that can be achieved when one understands the spiritual identity. And the process to understand spiritual identity is Hari Charyanu Annanam, that is by Shravanam. So we have to start with Shravanam. Even in Bhagavad Gita, if you see, 7th chapter, 9th chapter, 10th chapter, 11th chapter, right at the beginning, all chapters, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Tat Shrinu. You hear first. So Acharyas are saying that hearing has to be done, then only you can actually understand the Guhya Gyan. Because Krishna is telling, I am giving you Guhya Gyan. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So that kind of knowledge can be understood when one starts by hearing, attentive hearing. Gaada Karne, if one has very attentive hearing, Gaada Karne. And then Prabhupada says, in the purport, if by Krishna's grace we act in our spiritual body, we can transcend both the gross and subtle body. So, this is also an important aspect of bhakti principle. So, in bhakti, our attempt is a plea, is a prayer to actually attract Krishna's grace. It's not in a mood of conquest. It's a mood of request. So it's not about by my endeavor I will achieve something, I will conquest, I will control my mind, I will be able to go beyond my material and subtle body, my gross and subtle body. It is just a plea, it's a prayer, it's a request to my Lord by whose grace I will be able to do it. So like that, you know, that analogy is given of monkey and cat. So generally if you see monkeys, the baby monkey is clinging on to the mother monkey. And the baby monkey by his or her own attempt is clinging on to the mother monkey. And the monkey is jumping from one branch to another. You will see in Vrindavan and other places. And it's such force and with such pressure the baby monkey has to cling on. Otherwise, the force at which the mother monkey is jumping, the baby monkey will fall. On the other hand, the cat, when she is carrying the kitten, so she just lifts it in her own mouth and then carries the kitten from one place to another. So the same mouth, which is actually a cause of fear for rat, is actually cause of great relief or solace or love for kitten. So kitten does not have to do any endeavor. The cat takes the small kitten and from one place to another. So that is how the acharyas explain that the bhakti marg is like the cat taking the kitten from one place to another. So by the grace of the Lord, one will be able to actually go beyond this gross and subtle body. So it's a mood of request in which one hears. Like yesterday only, I think, in recording we were hearing, His Holiness Radhan Swami Maharaj mentioned that, exact words I don't remember, but in essence he was saying that our mood of service, our desire to please, will actually result in blessings of the Lord, and thereby our sadhana, our chanting will actually purify us. It's not that just our attempt to chant more rounds or attempt to do more devotional activities will itself will purify us. That is to create the right mood. If you have the right mood of submission, of humility, of taking shelter, that will attract Lord's mercy and that will purify. So that aspect is there of Krishna's grace. So Prabhupada is then telling about the importance of practice, training, sadhana. In other words, we can gradually train ourselves to act in terms of spiritual body. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Devotional service means engaging the spiritual body and spiritual senses in the service of the Lord. So we have to start this spiritual process by slowly, slowly dovetailing our desires, our endeavors in service of the Lord. So like very beautifully, there was a comparison done. So in Bhagavad Gita, what is that verse? Third chapter. Yagya shishtana ashanto muchyante sarva kilbishe bunjate teta gampapam ye pachanti atma karanat. So this verse, and then patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya pranashyati yadu tadaham bhakta upritam ashnami prayatatmana. So there, in this verse, yagya shishtana shanto muchyante sarva kilbishai. So if one takes yagya shishta, so Prabhupada translates there as Yajna is Vishnu, so the Avashishta, the what is offered to Krishna as Yajna Vidhi and then taken, Yajna Shishtana Shanto, Muchyante Sarva Kilbishe. So one is relieved of all papa. So this act, it's not done out of love. It's only as a matter of duty, Yajna Shishtana. Oh, I have to actually take it as a Yajna, Yajna Avashesh. So what maximum it will do is, it will free the food of papa. So Krishna does not say that I accept the food. Krishna says there that I free the food of papa. But patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya pranashyati. There twice bhakti term comes with love, with devotion if one offers. Ashnami, Krishna says, I accept it. I eat that food. So, when the bhakti is added, then Krishna accepts it. When there is only a dutiful endeavor, then only it's relieved of its papa. It's papa mukt. But it's not accepted by Krishna. Because Krishna does not need anything. Krishna needs love. So, if love is there, then he accepts it. Ashnami. Otherwise, he just makes it papa mukt. So, we may offer it, but if the love is not there, but devotion is not there, it is just like sometimes there is this process of in the terminology where you clean the thing. So it is just a process of cleansing the food, but it's not accepted by Krishna. So very beautifully that comparison. So here also, slowly, if we dovetail our consciousness, at least purification will happen. We'll get papa mukta. And when the purification will happen and we keep on hearing shravanam, then some devotional attributes or inclination to love and serve Krishna will come. And when that keeps on increasing, then our devotional inclination, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevana, Bhakti Ruchyate. So then we will get more closer connection, and then it will be on the spiritual platform. So that is being highlighted. Now in the next verse, it gets a little technical and little complicated. And so Prabhupada in the translation says, when one is in youth, all the 10 senses and mind are completely visible. However, in the mother's womb or in the boyhood state, the sense organ and the mind remain covered, just as the full moon is covered by the darkness of dark moon night. So what is being mentioned here is that we see a child, a small child. He looks very innocent. And it seems he does not have any material desires. But when he grows, he becomes youth, suddenly all the desires start manifesting, all the different activities start manifesting. From where they came? They were not manifested as a child. So in mother's womb or in boyhood state, the sense organs and the mind remain covered. So, and in the next verse, so the understanding is, till the time the senses are developed, the subtle desires cannot actually act through them. So therefore they remain dormant. So as soon as the senses develop, the subtle desires which are actually there, dormant in the heart, they also become manifest. So example is, or analogy is given by Narad Muni of dark moon night, Amavasya. So during Amavasya, it's not that moon is not there. Moon is there, but it's covered. So similarly, one cannot say, oh, a child is so innocent, he is so pure, so he does not have any material desires. It's just covered. Just with time, it will get manifest. So that is the theme. So then Prabhupada is explaining that in the purport. He's saying, when a living entity is within the womb, his gross body, the sense organs and the mind are not fully developed. So when child is small or in the womb, at such a time, the objects of the senses do not disturb him. So like a child is there, a small child is there. So if he sees or he witnesses a sense object, he is not affected by it. He does not suddenly get some lusty desires or some desire to enjoy. For him, he is in annamaya kosha. So everything he sees, he just wants to put in the mouth. That much he knows. He does not have any other senses which are like active or eager for some enjoyment. So then Prabhupada takes it next step of a young man. In a dream, a young man may experience the presence of a young woman because at that time his senses are active. So Prabhupada is saying that as soon as the senses develop, the person will start getting dreams of material enjoyment. But as a child, he will not get such dreams because the senses are not developed. So the subtle desires are dormant, they are not manifest. Because of undeveloped senses, a child or boy will not see a young woman in his dreams. The senses are active in youth even when one dreams. And although there may be no young woman present, the senses may act and there may be a seminal discharge. The activities of subtle and gross bodies depends on how developed conditions are. So this is important. The activities of subtle and gross bodies depends on how developed conditions are. So depending on the development of our gross and subtle nature, the manifestation takes place. So then the example of moon Prabhupada is explaining, which is mentioned. Then he says, the senses of the living entities are there, but they only become active when the gross body and the subtle body are developed. Unless the senses of gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. So unless the senses of gross body are developed, they will not act on the subtle body. So because the subtle body has desires, but it does not have a medium to express them, so they remain dormant. But as soon as the gross body becomes developed, so now there is a channel for water to flow. So like if the water, if we make like a dam for water, so because there is no channel for water to flow, it's restricted. But if there is a small hole also which gets manifested or something, then there is a channel and slowly, slowly the water will start passing through. So similarly, because there was no channel which was present for the subtle desires to actually manifest, so they remain dormant. But as soon as the gross body develops and now the medium or the channel has developed, so then the subtle desires also start manifesting. Similarly, Prabhupada now flips it. Flips the whole thing. Similarly, because of the absence of desires in subtle body, there may be no development in the gross body. So I was thinking the example of Chatushkumaras. So Chatushkumaras, they were born of Brahmaji, and Brahmaji said, they are the sons of Lord Brahma, and Brahmaji said, you should progenate. But they said, no, we want to remain Brahmacharis. And because they did not have subtle desires to enjoy, they said, we want to remain as small children only. So our body should remain as small boys. So there may be no development in gross body. So because they did not have desire to enjoy materially, no material desires in the subtle body, so their gross body also remain. They requested like that, it remained undeveloped. So I was just discussing this point with Madhav Gopal Prabhu. But for a devotee, it may be different. For a devotee, because he uses both his gross body and subtle body in Krishna's service, so both may develop the tendency to think, to make proper decision, that is part of subtle sense, the desire aspect, and the gross body, the senses may develop. But that is not a sign that he is materially inclined. but he is using both his material, so both his gross and subtle body in service of the Lord. So even though it's developed, it is used in Krishna's service. So that aspect is there. Then in the 73rd verse, it's mentioned, when the living entity dreams, the sense objects are not actually present. However, because one has associated with sense objects, they become manifest. So sometimes one person dreams and we see something in the dream which we have not seen before or not heard before. So how come they have manifested in our dream? So it's mentioned, because one has associated with sense objects, maybe in this lifetime or in previous lifetimes, therefore they become manifest in the dreams. Similarly, the living entity with undeveloped senses does not cease to exist materially, even though he may not be exactly in contact with sense objects. So Prabhupada gives the example of child, which I mentioned. It is sometimes said that because a child is innocent, he is completely pure. Actually, this is not the fact. The effects of fruitive activities reserved in the subtle body appear in three concurrent states. One is called bija, the root. Another is called kutastha, the desire. And another is called phalan mukhaha, about to fructify. The manifest stage is called prarabdha, already in action. In a conscious or unconscious state, the actions of the subtle or gross bodies may not be manifest, but such states cannot be called liberated state. So it's not that just absence of material actions or material desire is equal to liberation. That's what Prabhupada is saying. It's not an equation like, oh, if you don't see any material action or material manifestation, it's equal to liberation. Because it may be dormant there. So like, if you remember, in 6th canto, when the Shukdev Maharaj is telling about the principle of atonement. So how the jiva, he does some papa and how he can be free. So Parikshit Maharaj has this question. There are people in the hell who are suffering. How they can be free? So then Shukdev Maharaj first tells they can do atonement. So Parikshit Maharaj says, no, no, that is not a very good solution. It is like elephant bathing, kunjara shochavat, because the elephant goes for bathing. As soon as he comes out, he takes the dust on the banks and again puts on his body. So if even though one may do prayashchitta, atonement, he does atonement, but as soon as atonement is finished, he again comes and does the same papa or sinful activity again. So that solution does not sound very reasonable. So then he says, okay, another solution is the jnana mark, where one can actually get rid of all the desires of enjoyment. So he gives the example of when there is a fire, the tree or the creeper is burnt. But Parikshit Maharaj says that also is not a good solution, because the top part is burnt, but still under the soil, the roots are still there. The bija is still there. And when the proper conditions are there, when water is there, when etc., it will again prop up. So that is this point here, that even though it may appear that there is no gross or subtle manifestation of material activity, is that equal to liberation? No, because when the suitable time comes, like I was thinking, another example was of Ajamil. So if we hear or read the story of Ajamil Katha, so in Ajamil Katha also, if you read his good qualities, he's a very Brahmanical in nature. He has all the good qualities. He is very truthful, clean. He does lot of puja, etc., worship. But then suddenly, he sees a scene. And his dormant desires, which were very latent, which were very not manifested, and suddenly they come up. And he forgets all his Brahmanical duties, responsibilities, and he takes to a very you know, activities are filled with papa. He marries a prostitute. He gives up his, you know, married wife. He gives up his old parents, does not look after them. He marries, stays with a prostitute, etc., etc. And later at some point, because of Lord's mercy and some intervention of some devotees, it's mentioned, he names his son Narayan, and at the end of his life, he calls Narayan, and then he hears the conversation between Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas and realizes, oh, what mistake I have done. And so then Shukdev Maharaj says, actually, the best way is to atone is, or to come out of pap is, he gives the analogy of, what analogy he gives? Nihara eva bhaskara. So when there is a fog, and suddenly when there is one ray of sun, just by one ray, the whole fog is destroyed. So that is the path of bhakti. So what lesson we can learn here is, unless there is a positive engagement, unless there is some deep sense of shraddha or nishtha manifested in the heart, just by no manifestation of material inclination, desire, one cannot conclude one is liberated. Unless there is deep desire for service, deep desire for nishtha, then only we can conclude that it's on the liberated platform. Prabhupada then says, a child may be innocent, but this does not mean that he is a liberated soul. Everything is held in reservation, and everything will become manifest in due course of time. It's there in a reservoir. Even in the absence of certain manifestation in subtle body, the object of sense enjoyment may act. Even in the absence of certain manifestation in subtle body, the object of sense enjoyment may act. The example has been given of nocturnal emission, in which the physical senses act even when the physical objects are not manifest. So physical object is not manifest, but still a physical action is taking place. The three modes of material nature may not be manifest in the subtle body, but the contamination of three modes remains conserved, and in due course of time it becomes manifest. Therefore it said that whatever inputs we are taking through our senses, through our knowledge acquiring senses, is very important, because we may feel that it's not having any effect, but it's getting registered, conserved in our chitta, and it suddenly gets manifest. And then one thinks, like it happens with me a lot, that in a devotional ambience, with devotional inputs, and suddenly, you know, a thought or something will come, and I will think, where did that come from? And it's totally unwarranted or totally material, very, very low conscious thought or low conscious desire which has manifest. So where it has come from? Because of the subtle inputs which I have gained, desires which are actually stored in my consciousness, and suddenly it gets manifest. Like Sri Chaitanya Kripa Prabhu is telling, that it happens. So in that way, one has to be very careful. Then Prabhupada in the end says, even if the reactions of subtle and gross bodies are not manifest, one does not become free from material contamination. Therefore, it is wrong to say that a child is as good as liberated soul. So Prabhupada is again and again saying, just seeing an innocent child or innocent person does not confirm that he is liberated. Innocence may be just an outward display, but internally there may be a lot of desires which may be dormant. And when the time is ripe, they may manifest. Therefore, that famous shloka also, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagvati akinchane sarver gunes tatra samasate sura harao bhaktasya kuto mahadguna mano dhavato. So it there also it said that yasyas There also it said that only in a devotee's heart the godly qualities are manifest. Otherwise, it's on a manorati. Those who are manifesting, it's on the platform of mind. Why? Because suddenly some unwarranted jo gross desires, subtle desires, which are dormant in the heart, which are not being seen, suddenly they will manifest and all those qualities will actually be shattered. Nobody will actually adhere to them. Even in 10th canto, what is that shloka? Kamsa kle bolte? Kim dussaha na sadhu naam? Vidusham na kim utasasa? Pikshitam? Fir next two lines? Akaryam kim kadaryanam? Dustajam kim didatmanam? So there it's mentioning the comparison between Kamsa and Vasudevji is done. So for Kamsa, he is just taking his sister who is newly married and very, very happily, eagerly, he is driving the chariot and taking both of them after marriage. And suddenly he hears a voice from the heavens, oh, the eighth child of this same Devaki will kill you. So he completely is transformed from being a very loving brother, he becomes like a very cruel, wanting to chop off the head of Devaki at that moment. So that is the nature of the good qualities in this world, which are not born out of devotional attributes. They are just temporary, manorathena. As soon as there is something wrong against me, forget all good qualities. But for Vasudev and Devaki, it's mentioned, what is difficult for them to give up or do in devotional service? To get Krishna as their son, they had to lose 6 children, newborn babies. They were born right and in one day they were killed brutally by Kamsa right in front of them. So Acharya say, somebody could have said, "Are, why are you giving birth only to children? If you don't give birth, then there will be no killing." But they are eager to have Krishna. The Acharya is saying they want Krishna to appear as their son. They want to serve Krishna. So in that mood, they are willing to take any kind of difficulties or problems. So what is difficult for a devotee to handle? So that kind of mood has to be manifest. Then only one can see what is real bhakti. Otherwise, just innocence of a child does not prove that he is liberated, because the dormant desires will become manifest. So this is how gross and subtle aspects play their part. So gross body is a medium for subtle body attributes to channelize the actions. So if this is not developed, this remains dormant, and as soon as the gross body is developed, the subtle body also starts. And if the subtle body does not have desires, as Prabhupada says, then the gross body can also remain dormant. It may not develop. So both sides, the point is there. So we'll end here. And thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.
किटन को पकड़ते हो भक्ति में कंपेयर किया, लेकिन वो कर्मी और ज्ञानी को कंपेयर किया। मैं बोला वैसा है क्या, क्योंकि कोई मैं सुना था कहीं तो
नहीं, वो जो जो
क्योंकि ज्ञानी
जो मंकी जो पकड़ रहा है वो ज्ञानी का मान,
ज्ञानी का मान
वो मैं बोला नहीं, क्योंकि
इधर अच्छा नहीं,
रिलेवेंट नहीं, अच्छी बात नहीं है। मेरा डिस्कशन भक्ति में था तो मैं उस पर ही रखा।